So shall we read this together? We'll have the sort of both. Did you get the other bit as well? Yeah, we'll have both passages, please. So this is Judges chapter 6, 12 to 17. And then we're going to have 36 to 40, I think. So if we read, say this together. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Right. "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me." Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you promised, look, I will place the wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Used to be one of the favourite assemblies I used to do, Joe, going into schools with Gideon and the fleece and putting the fleece down. And for point of note, you can make 10 primary school jumpers out of one fleece. That statistic is helpful for you. So, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? So when we first meet Gideon in this passage here, he's actually hiding. And he's hiding because, as it says in Judges earlier, the Israelites had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And another nation, the powerful Midianites, had invaded their land and taken over the land. And they pushed the Israelite people to the margins, to be honest. The Israelites were they were sort of hiding in the mountains. They were sort of keeping out the way. The Midianites had taken over all the good land, all the fertile plains. Every time the Israelites tried to grow crops, the Midianites came in and trashed them. And the Israelites were left with virtually nothing. Anyway, some wheat had been harvested, and instead of threshing it out in the open, because threshing wheat in those days still is now, but is a dusty job. You're trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, the grains from the dust and the rubbish. And so normally you would have, in the past, they would have done it out in the open so all the dust could be blown away in the wind. But because Gideon was so frightened of the Midianites coming and seeing him doing this, he was actually down in a wine press doing it. A wine press is basically a pit in the ground. So he was hiding down in this pit, trying to thresh out the wheat. And you can imagine the dust must have been going all over him because there was nowhere from the wind to blow it away. And this is where the angel of the Lord first comes to Gideon, when he's hiding, a frightened farmer hiding down in a pit. And yet the first thing he says to him is, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, you can interpret that in a number of ways. You could say, well, actually, it's an extreme example of God's sense of humour, calling someone hiding from the possibility of an attack, calling them a mighty warrior. Or you could say it's yet another example of God looking into someone's heart, as he's done countless times through the Bible and continues to do today, and seeing their true worth. Now, not surprisingly, Gideon was not too sure about this new title of mighty warrior. And even though we read in Judges that the angel performed a miracle directly in front of Gideon, he was asked to prepare an offering with meat and bread, and the angel touched it and it sort of immediately incinerated. Even though he did that, Gideon still doubted that God had chosen him, and he still wanted proof of God's conviction. And hence he did the wet and the dry fleece bit. And I mean, you just imagine him after the first time, when the fleece was wet the next morning and the ground around it was all dry. You could just imagine Gideon thinking, well, perhaps there was a tiny little shower and it just rained on the fleece and didn't rain anywhere else. And he was looking for, you could hear his sort of mind going, he's looking for as many reasons as possible as to why God didn't want to choose him, why he wasn't, God wasn't saying to him, I need you to be this mighty warrior. And he felt unworthy, as if he had nothing to offer. And as he said, he was the youngest member of the least important family in his tribe. He took a lot of convincing, a lot of encouragement. But in time, he did begin to trust God. And that trust became more complete when God told him, right, you're going to be a mighty warrior. You're going to lead this army to victory over the Midianites. And he started off with 32,000 men. And then God said, no, that's too many. That's too many. It's still less than the massive Midianite army, but no, 32,000 men is too many, too many. Reduce it down to 10,000 men. So, okay, 10,000. And then eventually God says, no, 10,000 is too many. I think you just need 300 men. So he reduced his army down from 32,000 down to 300 men, less than 1% of the original army. So you've got to have a lot of trust in God to believe that he's going to carry you through that. And God said that the reason was is that he said, I don't want Israel to boast against me that it's on her own strength that saved her, but it's in my strength, in the strength of the Lord. The victory is the Lord's in this battle. And it was. And if you read about it in Judges, it's a wonderful story about how they won back to him. Basically, the Midianites sort of destroyed themselves, really, with what was happening. God saw the gifts within Gideon, however well they were hidden, that could be used for his glory. But what does that say to us today? I think the verse that stands out most to me is go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I wonder whether in some instances over the years, some churches might have focused too much on, if you like, the highly spiritual gifts, the preaching, the leading worship, speaking in tongues, leading in public prayer. And then consequently, sometimes we might have sidelined gifts, such as encouragement, hospitality, being a good listener, or someone who will faithfully and diligently privately pray for their community and further afield. And I wonder whether, in some ways, we've disenfranchised some people over the years, that they've not felt their gifts, like Gideon, have been worthy to be used in God's name. I'm sure that God has given each of us gifts that he wants to use in his service. But perhaps, sometimes like Gideon, we're unsure of our own capabilities. Excuse me. And I suspect that sometimes, in our rural church settings, it's easier to believe in a God of scarcity than a God of abundance. But the farmers amongst us here, and anybody with eyes could look around the last few months and see the difference just around us in the fields from scarcity abundant to abundance. We had months of seemingly no rain, of grass crops dying, every lot barren and dead. And yet from the end of August to the end of September, there was this amazing transformation in the fields. The potential was always there. In this case, it was released by rain. And how about the potential in our hearts, potential in our minds, that can be released by prayer and be released by seeking God's will and answering God's call to us? But underpinning all this is a realization that it's God's mission. It's not our mission. We're joining in with God's mission. We're playing our part. And that's why God has given us the various gifts to help us do this. And in any Christian community, there is abundance. There's abundance because of the different gifts that each of us have been given. However, the weight of the world rests on the Lord's shoulders, not on ours. It's how we choose to live out our lives to God's glory and God's pleasure is the key. Can we have our next reading, please, Jill? Should we read through this one together as well, please? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. One of the things I love about that reading is that Paul's listing all these things, these wonderful things and that. And it's almost like he sort of comes down the scale and gets to admirable. Even if something is admirable, think about such things. It doesn't have to be sort of everything has to be perfect, immaculate, wonderful. Even if something is admirable, think about such things. It's brilliant reading. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If peace is guarding your heart and your mind, if the peace of God is with you, then you will stand out in a world where anger, mistrust, cynicism and blame seem to predominate. Don't underestimate the effect you will have on others by pursuing a life that is true, noble, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, admirable. And these are gifts from God that we can carry around with us without rushing around, burning ourselves out with the busyness in our efforts to please. Going back to this Lectio 365, the one this morning, on Sundays they have a shorter one about the Sabbath and about resting and relaxing and that. And one this morning quoted from Dallas Willard. I don't know if you've heard of Dallas Willard, an American theologian who's who's written quite a lot of stuff. And he was asked for a one-word description of Jesus. Does anyone know what that word might have been? One-word description of Jesus. It's not the word I would have thought of, naturally. Relaxed. And it goes on to say that with just 3 years to save the planet, 3 years of ministry, Jesus still found time to sleep deeply, attend parties, climb hills, and go fishing. And that's quite a different take on the what we often hear in sort of interpretations of the Bible. But all I would sort of encourage you this morning, really, is that God has given each of us different gifts. I don't think it's in God's gifting that we should always be striving and burning ourselves out and pushing ourselves in terms of how we feel those gifts need to be fulfilled. But resting in the Lord, showing those qualities that Paul talks about in his letter to the Philippians, and having the peace of God within us and sharing that peace with others, could, and letting our gentleness be evident to all, might be the gift that's important that you offer to someone else in this week ahead and in the days to come. Amen.